What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Well, happy Friday, and Wiggy is off today, and I have mixed emotions, deep mixed emotions, because this is Mego's final morning filling in for Courtney. So,
guys, can I just start off by saying this? Like, just get the pleasantries out of the way so that we can talk sports and rip on each other again like normal. This has meant so much to me. These last weeks, I have to say, first and foremost, Greg is not just a rising tide that lifts all boats at the station. He has a superpower of bringing out the best from the people in the room around him.
Oh, and Mego.
I'm being completely 100. There's not a lot of hosts out there who have that talent.
Please, go on.
Well, then I was just...
Clear the rest of the schedule.
I was just going to
take as much time as you need.
I was going to thank the audience because a lot of you guys did not know me very well before this, or if you did, you knew how I felt about the football teams, the basketball teams. There was a point when I did radio and I wouldn't even say my husband's name. And now, Greg, everybody knows, including Wiggy, that it's Chris Basin.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you to the audience for being just a big warm hug. You guys have been all so awesome.
You've come a long way on this show. You really
thank
have.
You.
And you're a huge talent, and the sky is the limit for you, I think.
Thank you.
Sky is the limit.
I've never worked with Mego on air before, and honestly, it was awesome going to Hilton Head. We hadn't really ever talked off air, and we had that lovely 2-hour ride that was 20 miles from the airport to Hilton Head. But no, it's been awesome. Honestly, it's been awesome. I didn't know what to expect, but it's exceeded all expectations. You're really, really awesome to work with. And I know we'll be hearing you somewhere elsewhere here on this radio station in a big role for a long time.
Yeah. Listen, thanks, if guys. You hang around for a little while, you could take over for me. I mean, I don't know how long I have left.
Well, I mean, you may not make it through today.
I'm not sure. Can you bet on Kalshi whether it is Mitch McConnell or I who go first? Do you know about that?
My mom has been calling me about, like, what do you think is real with this? I'm like, Mom, I don't know. Nobody
you mean
knows.
The election stuff last night?
No. I just mean with the photos and everything. Anything that comes out now, and I don't blame her. My mom's like, I don't know what's AI or not. I'm like, I don't know either, Mom.
Can we 25th Amendment this? What in the world is going on? I don't want to go down this road, but whoever said that was a good idea.
What, the press conference last night?
The address. Dude, you were the president. Like... I'm sorry. Like, you can't blame other people when you are the most powerful man in the world. And if you're going to say something, there is no greater tease than the collection of people that are leading our country right now. They're saying, ooh, it's like the Karen Reed, the police saying that the next shoe is going to drop against Karen Reed. Eventually, you're like, okay, there is no there.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to sports.
Well, I was going to ask if you have a favorite moment of your time here. With us.
I will say, and I feel bad, but hey, Wiggy's not here today. He's taking the day off. Like, the entire Hilton Head trip was just so fun. Because that was also early on. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to South Carolina.
Yeah.
And it was a blast.
Yeah.
The most shocking part of that trip was that I got Chick-fil-A and I offered some to Greg and he only had one waffle fry.
Well, also not shocking that one of your favorite moment on the show involves a lot of alcohol. So
yes, there was a lot of alcohol.
Not surprising to anybody. All right. Well, it's Mego's last day with us, filling in for Courtney. And Red Hot Red Sox are back in action. All-Star break is over. And Red Sox were the hottest team in the entirety of Major League Baseball heading into the All-Star break. Doubleheader today at Fenway Park against the Rays, and we will see if the hotness continues. So we were talking about it yesterday. Because Wiggy sometimes wants to go, you know, they have got to go on an immediate run right now, and then he wants to go series by series. And
they had to go 10-7.
Yeah. I mean, where are you guys? What do you need to see? First of all, can this series tell you enough about your Boston Red Sox that you remain on the bandwagon, or are you done based on this series, or is it you're going all the way up to the deadline, Curtis.
I guess in the absence of a four-game sweep at the hand, like the Rays sweep you and you look awful, and I guess that would say you're back to six games under 500, and it's pretty clear that that was a mirage. Other than that, like, even if you lose three of four, you're still only three games under five, or like, you're whatever, four games under 500. It's not the worst case scenario. To me, this weekend is going to be awesome at Fenway in terms of the fans are now back on board, I think, by and large. It's going to be a beautiful weekend outside of a little bit of rain tomorrow. And I just think it's awesome that we have a season. Like, this is just sort of like found money.
I'll go bullish in a positive way. I think that if you split this four-game series, you have to be major buyers. I think if you prove that you are basically even with the Rays, who are the best team in the AL, and the AL is wide open, then there's no excuse. Like, you have to add to your offense. You have to bring in a legit bat. I know people will argue about what kind of offensive player they need there, but I just need to see them make a big splash if they go 2-2.
Yeah. I just know the way people are because I've lived here my entire 59 years. And if they go 0-for tonight at Fenway, then the paper bags will be back immediately. But yeah, I guess if you can split this series, at least, at the very least, then you're a team that deserves investing in. And then we got to hope that Craig Breslow is the guy to do the investing.
That's the part that still scares me. Like, that's the part where I go, is this just going to be Breslow and his models? And I don't know, and I mean models, like the modeling systems, computers, not women. Like, I don't know what the past trade deadlines, how they have operated under him, but they didn't go well. So something has to change. Either somebody else has to be in the room alongside him, or he needs to change his approach. Maybe, as Curtis has said before, it's about aggressiveness, that he's not scared to pull the trigger. But it can't be like the past trade deadlines.
Yeah, I hope that, and maybe it's just a pipe dream, but I hope Theo's a little bit more around here. I mean, if there's ever been a guy that knows a trade deadline move and how to do it, he's the greatest that ever was. So I would hope that he's a part of it. I think that the Red Sox and the Patriots don't obviously play each other. There are different teams in the same city, but a week from tomorrow, the Patriots open training camp. And it was looking like this was going to be just get us to the Patriots. We'll talk, you know, Chris Sims. Chime. We get a new list from Chris Sims today. And I think the Red Sox ownership knows that they have an opportunity here that they can have the city's attention for a bit before the Patriots, the reigning AFC champions, begin their season in September. I think they need to be aggressive, even if it's just to get the interest back in the fans and maintain it throughout the rest of the season.
Well, the good news is that if he is needed during this very important time, John Henry is available via email. So
there's somebody that doesn't even cover the team here.
Oh, my God. Can we get into the different sideshows that are going on with the Red Sox? Because that's the most fascinating thing.
Is anybody doing that as a lead? We'll get into John Henry responding finally to one lone reporter via email.
Of course, it's in FanGraphs.
We will get to that. There's a lot that we got to talk about on today's show. That includes our leads coming up. We'll get those going in about 5 minutes max. They set it at 7:15, and that will include what one NBA insider said to those like Wiggy or Curtis who suggest that Bill Chisholm is cheap. And that is why Giannis is not here. So we'll get to that and the rest of They Said It coming up at 7:15. The news with Mego one last time at 8 on this morning show. And then Hill Notes at 9:30. And you can leave a Hill Note anytime on any topic on the Odyssey app. We are back in 2 minutes. Quick break here. Exactly 2 minutes. And we'll get going with a lead or two on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. Red Sox open the second half of the season tomorrow with a doubleheader and with vibes, which are high, Curtis. Am I right about that? Vibes high over there at Fenway Park?
They are. Sorry, I'm getting my digital mic on. Yes, very high.
We have not heard from this individual in a while, but it appears that Baseball Brett has called the show this morning. Hello, Brett.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's happening?
How are we?
Well, excellent. Thank you. I'm wondering what this Red Sox team really is. They've dragged me back in. Have they dragged you back in, baseball, Brett?
Yeah, they've made it an interesting summer. Looks like we have a season, and we got 17 games to decide if you're going to buy or sell. So I figured it was an appropriate time to call in and say hello.
Yes. If you were Brezbot, would you be a buyer or a seller?
I think you have to be a buyer.
Okay.
I think they've earned it. They put themselves in a spot where if you win 14-16, they had a huge hole, and under the new regime, under the new manager, they seem to be playing really, really well. So they've certainly earned it. They've scrapped together some wins, and they put themselves right square in the wild card race. So good for them.
Do you think they need to put an extension in the clubhouse so there's room for Roman Anthony?
Yeah, listen, there's so much talk going on right now about Roman Anthony and about the young kids and about the vibes. It's incredible to me, Curtis. It's incredible to me how quickly Boston turns. And there's just listening to other shows and the diatribe going on around the city. It's crazy. And the fact that these people have a voice that are just casting aspersions on like young people's character that just isn't true is just, it's crazy to me. And then, you know, stuff picks up and the scope of what people are saying is just so inaccurate. It's crazy, but we don't have time for that. The fact that they sent Roman down to Fort Myers, you know, they did it last year when he got hurt too at the end of the season, to try to get ready, to try to ramp up for the playoffs. Him and Marcelo both got hurt at the end of the year, and they did the same thing last year. So I'm not quite sure why they did that, but
well, what narrative wise, what is incorrect in your mind?
When you say that someone goes out all the time and, you know, there's like, and Marcelo Meyer's a bad character influence on Roman, and, you know, they're just only thing they're interested in is going out and partying. It's just not true, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's accurate. I think Roman's a 22. When he got hurt, he was 21 years old. He's 22 now. He's a 22-year-old kid with a ton of money, but all he wants to do is play baseball. He grew up playing baseball. That's literally all he's ever done. And then I bet you it's absolutely killing him not to be a part of this run of this season. Kid came in with MVP aspirations, right? He was getting votes for like preseason MVP. To be sitting out and not a part of playing baseball is just wild. No one wants to be sitting in a training room and going through the rehab process every single day and not playing baseball. Go ahead.
But isn't your issue, Brett, more with the organization than it is with the media? They did everything they could to throw him under a bus.
1,000%. The problem was after 30 games, Roman got hurt, and the roster construction was so poor going into the season, and they surrounded him with absolutely zero help at that point in the season, that they had to try to rush him back. He's a 21-year-old kid. They're trying to rush him back. Sam wants to sell tickets. Craig wants to save his job, because if he doesn't, he's going to get fired. So they're trying to rush the kid back. If they had just said what the Yankees said with Aaron Judge, he's out for 8 weeks. He's done for 8 weeks. When his rib is healed, he'll be back. The Pittsburgh Pirates, and no one cares about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Connor Griffin, the 21-year-old superstar phenom who signed a deal just like Roman, hurt his finger, very similar to Roman. They said he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. They didn't say, hey, we're going to put his DL stint back to retroactive to when he got hurt, and we're going to try to, you know, get this thing going here in a few days. They automatically came out, Curtis, and they assessed the situation, and they said he's out for, if they had just said he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think this changes the narrative. And I think the same thing's going on with Garrett Crochet, where they came in and they said Garrett Crochet is out for however long, right? And no one cares that Garrett Crochet is going out and doing Sam Adams, like he's doing a tour of bars tonight with Sam Adams. Yeah. No one's saying No one say anything about that. Yeah. Right?
Well, because he's achieved more in his career than Roman Anthony. He's actually done stuff on the big. I mean, I'm sorry, Gregor Crochet is in a different spot than Roman Anthony. And if the organization is willing to say these things, it means there is at least a small amount of credibility to the concerns about what he's doing off the field. Like, you can't tell me that the clubhouse is too small to have Roman Anthony in it, and that's why he's in Fort Myers.
Yeah, no one believes that.
Yeah. That may be true. I'm not. It is what it is, Curtis, on that one. But I think the roster construction was so poor going into the year that they panicked and they tried to rush him back. And I think you saw that. If they had just said from the start, I think it was just a poor handling from the Red Sox organization, where if they had just said from the start what the injury was or diagnosed it properly, then none of this would be going on.
All right. But now you're saying regardless of what they do over the next, whatever it is, 17 games till the deadline, you're a buyer if you're Craig Breslow, automatically.
You gotta be over five. And I think they're going to be, if they're 500 or better, they're going to be. I think they have to be. I think they got to go 10-17 in that stretch to be a legitimate buyer. I think it changes the deadline. If you can go 10-7 against, these are quality teams coming up too, and a bunch of teams in your division, the Dodgers mixed in there, you put yourself squarely in the conversation of a legitimate buyer, not just the kind of on the fringes, a couple small deals here and there, but you can start to make some baseball trades too. And I know Greg Curtis is going to hate this, but you could trade Jaren Duran get back. I know, Curtis, you're going to lose sleep at night because I heard you talk about Jaren Duran over the last several months. And I know that would.
I mean, who's going to swear at fans if he's gone?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Brett, I mean,
thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks. Baseball, Brett.
Yeah. See, I think the issue with Roman Anthony, and I was going to kind of say this to Baseball Brett, I think the problem is in the world of sports, we know how we are. It's perception becomes people's reality of who a person is, right? So the reality on Roman Anthony, unfortunately, is because of him being young and being out in the past, is that every time he goes out, people are instantly going to be like, oh, this dude likes to be outside, right? And then you're not performing well. But
when you say that, what have you seen? Because he went to Nantucket during the All-Star break?
But that's the perception of it, right? Right. Everybody says, oh, Roman, and I don't know the guy personally, but we've heard, not that he's been out, but we always, oh, Roman Anthony's in the seaport. He was over here.
He went out last season.
Right,
and not
right.
that there's, not that I'm saying that there's something wrong with that.
Right. But no, what I know that the point that I'm trying to make is this is what the people will, this will be their perception of you, right? And whether it's right or wrong, that's not the question. This is the picture that they're going to paint. And granted, he might not be out that much, but when we think of Roman Anthony, and we don't know him, what's the first thing that comes to our mind off the field when we think of him?
The interview you did with his sister. Oh, my God.
No, but I think the first thing that a lot of people say is like, oh, and it's because, maybe it is only because of the Nantucket thing, he likes to be outside, right?
Honestly, everybody would be in that same situation.
Wait, what do you mean? That's not the first thing that people think. So then why is this?
Is that the first thing you think? Curtis probably thinks.
Off the field.
On the field, Curtis would say soft. Like Curtis
No, but I'm talking about off the field.
I mean, I only missed 2 weeks, so he's definitely
I'm
soft.
Talking about off the, like Jason Tatum, for example. Do you ever think of him being a person that's
dad
off the field?
No.
I mean, off the court? Right.
No.
And so
Mago says she loves him.
And so I'm not saying it's a bad thing for Roman Anthony. All I'm saying is when that's the perception of you and you're not performing well or you're injured, that's what people are going to turn to.
I love it.
Right.
And that's all it is.
If he was playing
and
playing well,
nobody would care.
No one cares. Nobody gives an F that he's out having dinner in the North End.
Oh, right. I think they would celebrate it. Right. They'd be like, look at him. Like this young kid, he's like, I think the same way that you were talking about Greg yesterday, the video of him and Meyer last year getting off the boat on Nantucket with all the smokes walking behind them. Yeah. At the time, people were like, this is the future of the Red Sox.
Yeah,
like, these guys party. These guys are good. That would, but when you don't perform, as right. Wiki said, the perception changes.
Right. People but, were mad at the people taking the video, if you remember. They were like, let them be kids.
Yeah. Right. They were time. Like, they're having a great time. Good for them.
And but the other thing is,
you see
Ramirez.
The perception that was built of them, though?
Right.
Right. And that was, a, like, so off the field, is this like, this is what people's perception of them are.
Right. But Manny Ramirez never changed. He just stopped hitting. So people hated Manny being Manny at the end. But just like Bill Belichick, never changed. But the people were more frustrated with how he spoke to the media when the winning stopped. Like, it's all about if you're performing, it's part of, like, Mike Napoli. Did anybody bitch about him partying?
No.
When they won the World Series? He
no.
didn't have a shirt on for
They're
6
like,
months?
We love it. Hey, shirt off, smoking a dart at Daisy Buchanan's. People loved it.
Exactly. So, who cares? Like, if the Patriots had that party that was broken up after the AFC Championship yes. and they lost, yeah, right. people would be mad about it. Yeah. But they won and they were mad at the police.
And that's the thing that they, and that's the picture that people have painted about Roman Anthony off the field. And it's not right, but that's just how the world of sports works.
You have, by the way, infuriated a listener. Somebody who's been listening for 16 years.
Okay.
Said you have said the worst thing they've ever heard on this radio station in 16 years.
All right.
Classless.
What would that be?
We're going to get to
okay.
it. I have to answer. It's a customer complaint.
All right. So I say a lot of things.
I will answer.
Tell them to put it in the suggestion box. We'll get to it after the show.
Doesn't seem very customer focused.
Well, no. I mean, I want to see what it is. It might be something. Right. Might be like, wait a second. No, I think it's actually pretty bright what I said. Maybe a listening has to change after 16 years. Or I could be like, damn. My bad. Right. You're right, bro.
All right. We'll get to that and to what are we doing with Curtis next.
Watch your mouth for war.
This was such a welcome treat after Metallica's Black Album came out. I was such a huge Metallica fan, and I remember I got the Black Album, and it was like mid-tempo. And I remember a friend of mine listened to it the day we bought it. We bought it the day it came out, and he threw the cassette out of the window.
Oh, come on.
And then all of a sudden, Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power came out. I was like, there we go. Yeah, that's what we needed. And now I like the Black Album.
It was a banger.
It just when you came off of Injustice for All and you came off of Master of Puppets, the Black Album was a massive step
Nothing
down.
Nothing Else Matters, Unforgiven?
Nothing Else Matters was fine, but it wasn't.
It was an anthem. Anthem of the time.
No.
Brought us into the 90s.
Now I like it. Now I do. But I remember at the time, too, being very disappointed. It was not near as heavy as it should have been. All right. Is Rich get a Ted Johnson?
Not heavy enough.
Here.
That was my wedding song.
What? Nothing Else Matters? Your wedding song?
That was.
That would have been so great. Unforgiven. That was your walk down the aisle.
My ex-wife. It was.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Seriously, man.
617. I guarantee it was somebody's. 617-779-7937. You can give us a call. This has been so wild. Guy named Baseball Brett, who thought I would be so into somebody who uses a fake name, but is, according to Ken, because he's met this guy.
He's a good dude, cool dude, very good-looking dude. Might just throw that in.
It's weird. I mean, he doesn't want his last name out, but I don't know if his first name being out there is a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I
might be
Brett
able to deduce.
Yeah, sure. Maybe. But he legitimately is very close to Roman Anthony, close enough to where at spring training he was with the team. He doesn't work for the team, but he was with the team, and he was with Roman Anthony and continues to be so. And this morning, just for some reason, he felt He felt the reason.
You think for some reason? Or maybe someone told him to call in.
He's called in a few times before, so he's a regular on Greg's show.
Okay, so he is somebody who felt the need to call in and defend all of the slander on Roman Anthony lately, or maybe explain a few
things. And there's
things.
A lot of it going around, man.
It's weird. Like, I'm not going to kill the guy because I don't know what's happening, but I'm also going to call out how strange all of this is. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen anything like this where the hand thing is strange in the first place, and then how he's there for a while, and then they waited several months to send him down. Like, that's very odd. And then the excuse that Breslow used was that there wasn't enough room in the training room, so they sent him to Florida. And then the way McAdam talked about it was it sounded punitive, as if he wasn't doing something right, whether that was going out or and partying, or just he wasn't doing the right rehab. It's all strange. And what we heard last break was Baseball Brett was basically saying he's not out partying or anything like that. This is a ridiculous thing that you're saying or that is out there, and I'm here to dispel that rumor. But then he starts to talk about what's going on with him being sent down and him not getting back and everything going on with the organization. Stiz, I got to hear this because I have not heard this yet.
Yeah,
so
this is a good question by my man Curtis, followed up. And, you know, basically, I think this is the way Roman must feel about how things could have been different if the organization had done things differently.
Okay.
But isn't your issue, Brett, more with the organization than it is with the media? Like, they did everything they could to throw him under a bus.
1,000%. The problem was after 30 games, Roman got hurt, and the roster construction was so poor going into the season, and they surrounded him with absolutely zero help at that point in the season, they had to try to rush him back. He's a 21-year-old kid. They're trying to rush him back. Sam wants to sell tickets. Craig wants to save his job, because if he doesn't, he's going to get fired. So they're trying to rush the kid back. If they had just said what the Yankees said with Aaron Judge, he's out for 8 weeks. He's done for 8 weeks. When his rib is healed, he'll be back. The Pittsburgh Pirates, and no one cares about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Connor Griffin, the 21-year-old superstar phenom, who signed a deal just like Roman, hurt his finger, very similar to Roman. They said he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. They didn't say, hey, we're going to put his DL stint back to retroactive to when he got hurt, and we're going to try to, you know, get this thing going here in a few days. They automatically came out, Curtis, and they assessed the situation, and they said he's out for, if they had just said he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think this changes the narrative.
Wow, stop it. This is awesome.
Yeah, this
beautiful.
Is.
Like, this is awesome. Because I take, and we have talked about this before, when a family member calls in or says something, it's exactly what the player, like, really thinks. And in this case, now that I kind of get a feeling of the relationship this guy has with Roman Anthony, this is damning. And as a matter of fact, I hate to say it, because I love it when people talk. I love it when like, you know, people tell tales out of school. This ain't helping Roman Anthony at all.
I think it does, though. I actually take his side when I hear it that way. It's a fact that, first of all, the roster construction was poor, and they put too much on Roman Anthony's shoulders, right? Offensively,
He had zero help.
And it's a fact they tried to rush him back, right? Or at least they framed
him
poorly.
Put him on the 10-day DL.
And it's a fact that Sam Kennedy, who apologized for the way he described the injury, said it wasn't a tear was a tear. Right.
But he's also
underplayed it big time.
But the thing is, though, is there's shrapnel everywhere, and at one point, he's killing the roster. Like, his teammates. Like, they didn't put a good enough roster around him?
Well, this is not Roman saying this. This is baseball Brett.
This, in my opinion, is the voice of Roman Anthony through somebody else. If he's as close as everyone's saying he is, then this is obviously what Roman Anthony thinks.
No, and that's the truth. He's telling it as it is.
No, that is the one part where he's not helping. You can't you can kill management. You can kill all those guys. You cannot kill your teammates.
I feel like, though, that is there. Certainly, I hear what you're saying, but it's the other stuff that I think is the more dumb. Like, you know, rushing the kid back, or Sam wants to sell tickets, or using the Connor Griffin example as a kind of an example of why the Red Sox should have maybe, you know, came out and just said, hey, he'll be gone for 8 to 10 weeks, blah, blah, blah. So to me, that's the bigger message, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
If I'm a player on this team and I hear he had zero help and it was all him.
Look at the numbers. Look at the historical bad nature of the offense. Like, everybody knows they suck. Yeah, and the offense sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think comments like this might be why Chad Tracy wanted to get him out of there. Maybe the teammates don't like him around. This does not sound like something a good teammate would say.
Well, maybe Roman's saying, yeah, you've hurt my relationship with my teammates because of the way you handled it, front office. Like, this is part of his beef as well. You know?
Don't rip on the roster, man. Like, that's the one part of that I was like, whoa, there's no coming back.
But there's a lot of woe is me, you know, if we're being honest. You know, it feels as if he's kind of.
He's got a beef, though. I think he's got a beef.
Yeah, he does. Do you want it to come out through this?
But back to Brett's original point, he's getting crushed. The longer he's out, like, he's just dangling and just getting, he's like a pinata, right, for the media, and probably the fans are starting to turn on him. So he's like, I got to say something. I mean, you can just
use your own words then. Like, don't go through a friend.
He did sort of with Bradford, and he sat down with Rob.
Or get better, come back, and play well. You just suck it up. Dude, it's going to suck for a while until you're back and you're not down in Fort Myers. And you're back in this lineup, it's just going to suck. You know what? Stop reading the comments. Stop listening to what people are saying.
What if you tear a vocal cord and you're like, I don't want to come back till I can sound like Rich Certainly? You know, it's like, it's not that easy. Like, you want it to heal and become back and be you.
I would know that I can't come back if I can't speak. So I would know what I would
say.
I would unplug and I'd be like, there's nothing I can do about what people think.
Would you be dry talking, trying to get better?
the dry swings. I've been doing this.
But here's the thing with Roman. He's already got his money. He's not up for a big contract. Like, what is he right now?
Right, that's part of it.
Coming back now, like, so what if he re-injures it? He's already getting his money. So,
but I think that's what he's saying. Like, this is a long-term thing. Like, you shouldn't rush me back. Why are you rushing me back? Just because your job's on the line. You shouldn't jeopardize my future. You know, we're together for 10 years. Like, I'm not going anywhere. We got a bright future ahead.
Let me hear the rest of this, okay? I'm sorry I had to stop it there because it was so much. I mean, it really is. Yeah. That's a crazy, crazy comment. Because as I said, I believe this is, like, from Roman Anthony. This is what he thinks. Because this is apparently his guy. Let's take a listen. Look for the rest.
I think this changes the narrative. And I think the same thing's going on with Garrett Crochet, where they came in and they said, Garrett Crochet is out for however long, right? And no one cares that Garrett Crochet is going out and doing Sam Adams, like, he's doing a tour of bars tonight with Sam Adams.
Crapping on Crochet!
No one's saying anything about that.
Yeah. Right? Because he's achieved more in his career than Roman Anthony. He's actually done stuff at the big... I mean, I'm sorry, Garrett Crochet is in a different spot than Roman Anthony, and if the organization is willing to say these things, it means there is at least a small amount of credibility to the concerns about what he's doing off the field. Like, you can't tell me that the clubhouse is too small to have Roman Anthony in it, and that's why he's in Fort Myers.
Yeah, no one believes.
That may be true. It is what it is, Curtis, on that one. But I think the roster construction was so poor going into the year that they panicked and they tried to rush him back. And I think you saw that. If they had just said from the start, I think it was just a poor handling from the Red Sox organization, where if they had just said from the start what the injury was or diagnosed it properly, then none of this would be going on. Mm.
Baseball, Brett from the top row. Oh,
hey. Great job, seriously. Brett. Awesome job, Brett.
I mean, he did come down on Garrett Crochet there. I mean, you're going after your biggest star. It's not fair for me to say that that's Roman Anthony's correct words. But from the way that this relationship is described, it sure as hell sounds like this is most likely how he feels.
Well, you remember
this guy
how when
can do bar crawls and I can't?
You remember when Brady Sr. spoke on behalf of Tom?
Damn right.
Okay,
damn right.
Said that's not Tom speaking, that's his father. But sometimes the people around you get more hot than you do, you know?
Oh yeah.
On your behalf, they're trying to protect you.
Yeah. But Tom said, you know, of course he lied through his teeth when he said, you know, my dad doesn't. Whatever my dad say, that's his own words. That doesn't.
Damn okay, right.
Sure.
Damn
sure.
Rights.
Look, I'm with you. And to me, this is, I mean, this if this is really is a peek into how Roman Anthony thinks, and it's I think very revealing because he's basically saying all the stuff that we've been saying. We probably that's what he thinks. We think he's thinking, but never said it. But now he's saying it through his friend, and I understand why he would say it.
Yeah. I think that he is not this. He's not doing himself any favors with this. And you know what sucks? And it's got to be awful to be in a spot that he's in right now where he probably really wants to play. He probably still has the pain. I just think, and Ted, this is something that you would know more about than anything. Aren't there just times where you just have to turn off the noise, suck it up, get better, and get back in there?
That's it. You do. It's hard to take the high road because so much pressure has been put on him. But I think he'd be better suited just sucking it up, taking his medicine. You know, the truth eventually will come out, and people are gonna, I think, be on your side if you just take the high road and not say anything. I think that would have been better. He would have been better if that's, and he isn't saying anything. It's his friend saying it. But,
sure. So take that with a grain of salt.
And by the way, Brett just texted me. He said, "This is only my opinion." Capitals.
Yep, no doubt.
Oh, that's Baseball Brett. He texted.
Baseball Brett.
Yeah.
Baseball Brett, give us a call,
I feel
buddy.
Bad. I don't want Baseball Brett.
He said his piece.
I feel bad just saying this is what Roman Anthony, but it's a natural link. To think that that's it's how Roman thinks.
Well, once again, like Greg Bedard getting a call from the Patriots, right, allegedly, right. I will report what Baseball Brett says. Right.
He's got a phone, like a red phone, just the way Bedard does.
No, but I like Baseball Brett. As I said, I'm a big fan of people like that. I like when people talk. That's good stuff. That is great. Thank you to Greg for being friends with Baseball Brett, because I thought that was a fantastic call. Good job, Brett. You keep calling. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, undefeated Ken Laird.
You.
And Ted Johnson. Someone said they should have just awarded the Bears the Super Bowl after that Patriots response. Well, they essentially did. That was a pretty embarrassing night.
I was more interested in that age. The Bud Bowl was hot then. You remember watching Bud Bowl 1 and 2? And
Was that
the freezer instead of the fridge?
I remember the Bud Bowl. The Bud Bowl was all right. I remember they were...
What the hell was that?
The Bud Bowl...
It was a great commercial.
Dude, when you think about it, it was the stupidest thing ever. They had their own halftime, and it was Budweiser versus Bud Light, and they battled each other in a football game.
Yeah.
We talk about great advertising. You got us to watch something that stupid and get excited
about
it. It was awesome.
And the freezer got hit, and he turned around and ran into the wrong end zone, and it like won the game for Bud Light or whichever the other beer was. As a kid, I was like, yeah.
There's been a few situations, Stiz, where I don't know, you might not remember any of these, but that people would promote something going on at halftime, so you would turn the station and you'd watch it, or it would be on during it. I remember in Living Color, when that was big, when it was the weigh-ins and Jim Carrey, they had a halftime thing. There was the Lingerie Bowl when they came out. Like, hey, turn over during like halftime and watch the Lingerie Bowl.
Well, I Googled this yesterday when we were talking about halftime performances, who was the best, and that's what they said, that there was the In Living Color thing. A lot of people switched over, so they were like, all right, how do we stop that? That's when they brought in Michael Jackson. That's when it becomes like a thing.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so that was one thing led to the next. Yeah. And now, you know, Maroon 5 and the Black Eyed Peas are keeping
the
channels.
Bad Bunny was good. Yep. By the way, early returns on our poll. Is Tom Brady still the most beloved former athlete in New England at the WEI Twitter account? Ortiz or Pedro is leading the way. 45% of the vote, then Brady second, then Bird. Nothing for Gronk or Edelman yet, but it is early, and some complaints that Bobby Orr should be on the list.
Bobby Orr is a worthy one, but I don't think enough to win that. Like, and we're just judging from the responses that we got before. It's an interesting conversation. All right, so a Roman Anthony... We all know what's going on with him right now. He has been sent down to Florida because things just aren't getting better with his hand. I personally think that Chad Tracy may have had something to do with it. It seems like he's doing a pretty good job keeping a positive environment around this team to the point where, you know, as I said, give him a lot of credit because they had every reason to give up, throw in the towel. You know, you see this happen with teams that are so far down in the standings. They just stop trying. They turn on each other sometimes. And that hasn't happened. And I do like, obviously, that they're still playing their ass off. And now they've worked their way up to a point where they are a half game out of a wild card spot. And now it looks like they are probably going to buy at the trade deadline. If you believe the stuff that we've been hearing, we had Bob Nightingale from USA Today on. He thinks it's going to be a half measure, but he doesn't think it's because the Red Sox aren't trying. It's just because there aren't a lot of huge names that are going to be available because there's so many teams that are still in it.
Now, let me ask you this real quick aside. If they get swept by the Rays, 0-4, Monday, should they still be buyers? Like, well, is this series enough to sway you one way or the other?
It's a great question because, I mean, it's so detrimental. I mean, you know, it being in your division. If they get swept, yeah, you kind of got to step back. But the one thing that is good news is that before the trade deadline, I keep talking about it being like a barbell of teams that you're playing. You've got, you know, the Rays, which are obviously a very, very good team. Mm-hmm. They're at the very beginning of it. And then I believe after that, Baltimore. It goes Baltimore, who aren't very good. Then three against Toronto, not very good. And then you've got four against the Athletics, not very good. But then you go Dodgers. And it's Dodgers and White Sox at the end of it. So if you take all of those games together, it's just a little over a 500 record if you compile all of them. So do you give up after if you get swept by the Rays? It's not a good look, but I still think you have time to wait and see what this team can do. No, that'll be a moral kick in the nuts if they lose.
Separate quick aside, Bradford was on with Jones and Keefe today and said he thinks Trevor Story could be back soon. Like, he'll be back, and he could be back in this homestand. Like,
yeah.
And that's a big lift, baby, if he's playing well.
Sure, yeah, without a question. He believes out of all the guys that are out, he would be the first one to return, right? It was him before Mayer? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So the one thing that I find very interesting is when you have a relative or a close friend of a player who speaks to the media, because it usually most of the time means that that's truly what the player thinks. And you know, we've heard this with Tom Brady's dad, damn right, and so many other different people who are close. There is a gentleman who called this morning to the Greg Hill Show, and I guess he's done it before. Mm-hmm. His name is Baseball Brett.
Frequent caller, friend of the show.
Frequent caller, friend of the show, and it's somebody that Ken can vouch for, because when you guys went down to spring training, he was with the team, not like an employee of the team, but was on the other side of the rope. He's close to the players. He's close to Roman Anthony. And he called in and wanted to clarify a few things, speaking for himself. He does not go on the record as saying this is what Roman Anthony thinks. He's speaking for himself. However, I do believe that when he says these things, it's most likely because his friend is thinking these things, that being Roman Anthony. That's what I think, that he has not said that. He has not gone on the record. But one of the first things he said is that this impression of Roman Anthony being a party boy and being out and late at night and, you know, getting banged up and stuff like that is not fair. I agree with that because I can't imagine what it's like to be somebody who wherever you go, everyone's taking pictures of you and trying to get clicks and trying to get people to talk bad at you. Let's say you're at a restaurant and you have a drink in your hand. All of a sudden, everybody gets a picture of you and it's like, look at this guy, he's drunk.
And to be fair, we haven't really seen pictures of that, have we? I mean, he's been like filmed walking in the seaport, but not like pictures of him bombed. Or,
no.
You know, there's been none of that.
No, and like even if you saw a picture of him bombed and you didn't know where it was or when it was, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That could be him at a birthday party during the off season. We don't know what's going on. So I do think that is unfair. But there are some things that I think are absolutely on the table, and that is the situation between him and the organization. The way they misclassified his injury, how they've been handling him, the way that it seems, the way that they sent him down to Florida months into his rehab, the way it's being classified as almost punitive by the people who report on the team. It's that part of it's weird. And that was the part that I thought was the most interesting this morning when Greg Hill and Curtis and all the other guys and Wiggy, they ended up asking Baseball Brett, who is very close. Once again, now that I kind of know who this person is, I don't know exactly who he is, but I know how close he is to the team. You know, I take his word here. So let's take a listen. Here's what he had to say about what's going on with Roman Anthony.
But isn't your issue, Brett, more with the organization than it is with the media? Like, they did everything they could to throw him under a bus.
1,000%. The problem was after 30 games, Roman got hurt, and the roster construction was so poor going into the season, and they surrounded him with absolutely zero help at that point in the season. They had to try to rush him back. He's a 21-year-old kid. They're trying to rush him back. Sam wants to sell tickets. Craig wants to save his job because if he doesn't, he's going to get fired. So they're trying to rush the kid back. If they had just said what the Yankees said with Aaron Judge, he's out for 8 weeks. He's done for 8 weeks. When his rib is healed, he'll be back. The Pittsburgh Pirates, and no one cares about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Connor Griffin, the 21-year-old superstar phenom, who signed a deal just like Roman, hurt his finger, very similar to Roman. They said he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. They didn't say, hey, we're going to put his DL stint back to retroactive to when he got hurt, and we're going to try to, you know, get this thing going here in a few days. They automatically came out, Curtis, and they assessed the situation, and they said he's out for, if they had just said he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think this changes the narrative. And I think the same thing's going on with Garrett Crochet, where they came in and they said Garrett Crochet is out for however long, right? And no one cares that Garrett Crochet is going out and doing Sam Adams, like he's doing a tour of bars tonight with Sam Adams.
Okay, stop for a second. I don't like that. Like, that's the one thing I don't like.
It's just Brett's opinion.
I know it's Brett's opinion, but I also, because it sounds to me as if, like, they're throwing Garrett Crochet under the bus.
That Brett is?
A little bit, yeah. Like, I don't like that because the one thing you can do is if you're a player and you want a message out there, you can absolutely go against management. And you know what? And Roman has actually a really good case.
Yes, he does.
And most people would be on Roman's side.
Well, to the point where Sam Kennedy already apologized for his, you know.
Exactly.
How he described the injury at first.
But you can't go after your teammates. And the way that at the beginning, too.
Well, Brett's not his teammate.
I know, but. And Brett seems like a good dude, but I think unfortunately when you gotta represent that you're close to these
people. It's just Baseball Brett. It's just a caller.
But what if that really is his boy and he's sitting back and he's a fan? He listens to media just like all of us do, and he's hearing this certain narrative get portrayed about his buddy Roman that's not being portrayed about Garrett Crochet, who's out kind of doing similar things, and you're just sitting back like. What the heck?
But Curtis made a good point. I mean, Crochet has already done some things.
Sure. You know,
the guy was a Cy Young finalist, arguably could have been a winner.
Right. We know that, right. He's got a track record.
Yeah.
We've seen that. And Roman Anthony, we don't really know who he is yet. We don't have enough of a sample size. I think that he's a dude who just is, he's frustrated that he's not getting better. The team is frustrated that he's not getting better. I think it's depressing when he's around the team, a team that's trying to do everything they can to keep their heads up and stay positive. And I think they're just like, man, you got to just figure it out down there.
It is a very weird situation, too, because he's so close to Meyer, who has struggled this year. So the two of them are often lumped together.
Yeah.
And when both of them come back, they'll be coming up against guys who have come up from AAA and done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And Anthony Seigler in particular is going to be a hard out. You know, it's hard to rip him out of the lineup right now when he's playing as well as he is. So will Meyer even get his job back when he's healthy?
That's going to be an interesting one. Out of all of them, that's going to be definitely interesting.
Especially if Story's back and playing well. So Story would be at short and playing every day because you're paying him unless you trade him. And then at second, it's Seigler. Meyer could go back there, but if Durbin and Seigler are playing well, eh.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I like Seigler. I like what I've seen so far.
You got Wilson talking the new guys up.
Which I like. I like that a lot. Matter of fact, I think that he has shown... I mean, I know that some people are going to laugh seeing that he was like texting that he was going to fight people while he was, you know, ejected from the game on Instagram. But I think he's shown a pretty decent amount of leadership.
F around and find out.
That's right. You know what? That'd be kind of fun. Yeah, sure, you could punch me. I'll take all your money. That's what that guy was thinking on the other end. Yeah, Wilson Contreras, absolutely, I'll take a punch. Give me your cash. All right, 617-779-7937. We are the drive home. It's brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And we are broadcasting from the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We'll take your calls next.
Are you ready for a terrible start to the second half?
What do you mean, Jones? No, I'm not ready for that. I've been waiting 5 long days for Red Sox baseball, and it's finally here. And thank God we have 2 games. Not one, but 2. So I'm all jacked up for the game. Why would it be a bad start to the second half?
Well,
they're on a 9-game heater. Everything seems to be going great.
Well,
huh?
They are the 2026 Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, that's true.
So, of course, they can't get out of their own way.
No.
The second half started today. What happened, Keith?
Yeah.
Is that Jarren Duran continues to threaten people.
Oh, no.
Yell at people.
Not that old chestnut.
And overall, not make you feel very good about him being a member of the Red Sox.
No. But the trade deadline's coming up on August 3rd. They might be able to get like a rosin bag or a fungo bat for him.
Somewhere.
Something. L screen.
Yeah.
You get something for Durant at this point.
Somewhere there's a new fan base out there for him to yell at.
Yeah, please.
Coming up
a couple of weeks from now. Other fan base. Yeah, he stinks.
Well, we'll get to it. Yeah. With your phone call, 617-779-7937 here on Jones and Keith. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. Good day to do it. Top 5 Friday, Keith, and
double.
A double.
Yeah.
Top 5 Friday. The Celtics, I don't know if you heard this, acquired Paul George.
I remember that. Yep.
And we were going back and forth. Should we do a list of top 5 Pauls, top 5 Georges?
Why not both?
We said, why not both?
There's nothing stopping us from doing 2 top 5s.
So a very special double top 5, groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Top 5 Friday, double top 5 Friday.
That's
Pauls
right.
And Georges coming up at 10:45.
Great.
We have the Friday 4-pack at 11:30 and the week interview at 11:45 today because we do have some Red Sox Day Baseball doubleheader for you today. On WEEI, starting with first pitch in the first game at 1:35, also the night game tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. You can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. You can watch there. You can chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. So, I planned on starting with this today, Keith.
Uh-huh.
The Red Sox, 14 games under on June 24th, and now sit, I'm sorry. They were 5 games under, yes, on June 24th, and sit 2 games under .500, a half game out of the final wild card spot. Mm-hmm. The only team in MLB history to make the playoffs after being 14-plus games out and on June 24th and that far out in the season were the 1914 Braves. So you go, wow, only one other team had been that far under .500 that early.
Babe Ruth was on the Red Sox then.
And turned around and made the postseason. I'm like, geez,
yeah.
History's working against the Red Sox. Well, that's ancient history. How about recent history with Jarren Duran,
who
continues to get into it with...
Real quick, I was just going to say on that, like some of those numbers will be updated because there are more playoff teams now than there were before, so there's more of an opportunity. And just the American League has been so bad that 500 is probably going to get in. So
that's where I was going to take
but,
it. Like,
but still,
the American League's down. There's extra playoff spots. Like,
they've dug themselves
change.
A huge hole. We're aware of that.
But no team has done it since 1914. Okay, that's not ideal.
Yeah.
Add this to the list. Tyler Milliken.
of the Section 10 podcast did an AMA on Reddit.
Ask me anything.
You can find some good stuff on Reddit, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Jones and Keith fans there, actually.
Yeah, shout out to the Reddit, by the way.
Not as...
It's a positive place, at least for us.
Not as many fans of other shows in this city.
Or certain people.
But I would say specifically in the Reddit...
We appreciate it.
A lot of Jones and Keith fans, which we do appreciate.
Thank you.
Tyler Milliken, an AMA... Thank you so much, he said. I'd love to tell my Duran story here. So he's got some Duran story,
ooh,
I guess.
Oh, a Duran story.
Maybe
okay.
They've hinted at it on the podcast. I have no idea.
Yeah.
He says, I don't care if it's public at this point.
Let's hear it then. I'm all ears.
He says, we did a pod with Duran last June and had a great time.
Okay.
Talked anime.
Hell yeah. Shime should have gotten in on that.
Definitely
should have. That would have been
great. I could have told my Manny Ramirez story where he came and I worked at Best Buy. He asked where the cartoons were. He talked anime.
Yeah.
And after he shared a bunch of cool stuff about the team and the organization, we had a great time.
Nice.
He says, well,
uh-oh,
when he flipped off that fan in Minnesota.
Right. I was going to say, you have to be specific, Minnesota, because there's other versions of him flipping fans off. So
the Minnesota
time. Specific, the one
not
in Minnesota
the
we're talking about.
Minnesota yeah. time is what
all
we're
right.
talking about.
Got it.
When he flipped off that fan in Minnesota, I posted a picture on my Twitter. No caption, nothing else. And I did it specifically because I know he's very sensitive about anything involving him, as the other guys, meaning Jared and company, have talked about. Okay, let's circle back to that piece
super
of it.
Super sensitive.
Yeah. When he saw it that night, he texted Carrabas that I was a fat...
Uh-oh.
...individual.
Watch your profanity.
Wasn't a very nice word.
Okay, so he... Your profanity. Let me stop you right there. No fat shaming on this show.
We do not
so already.
I call him a fat slob, but he kind of looked like Shy.
So I'm already on the side of... I'm already on the side of Milliken in this story, but if... Jaren Duran's going to start using
fat. We do not fat shame on this show.
Fat slurs, gay slurs. This guy's running the gamut here.
He really is.
I don't care for it.
He's kind of like South Park.
No group, attack everybody.
No group is safe with Jaren Duran. Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay. Fat.
Okay, so that's
Jaren Duran talking about Milliken, which I do not stand with. I'm against that.
And that if he ever saw me, he'd beat the crap out of me.
So now Jaren Duran wants to fight Tyler Milliken?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who he also referred to as, well, fat shame. Let's put
jeez,
it
that. Jeez Louise.
When I had my first Fenway Friday, I think Section 10 goes to Fenway home games on Friday.
I was going
to
say, which also says, like, they are, like, the podcast of the fan. Like, they are very supportive of the team. This isn't, like, a hypercritical podcast. Those guys have their own day at Fenway. I think they've thrown out the first pitch at Fenway. Like, it's a safe space.
They have Fenway Fridays.
Yes! Like, they love the team. That's part of their thing.
When I had my first Fenway Friday, I walked up to Duran and asked if he wanted to talk about it.
Good
like
for him.
Honestly, great for Milliken.
Great for him.
Because, you know, you hear all
Duran. No.
You hear all the time. All the time.
Yeah, oh, you're not here to say to
no,
my
and,
face.
And like, no, well, it's not even that. I'm more like media members like Shaughnessy and whatnot. Well, you got to show your face, and that's a big part of the job. And yeah, I'll rip people, but I show my face.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I give Shaughnessy a lot of credit for it. All right, we're not always in there, Keith. In fact, I couldn't even tell you the last time I was in a locker room or a clubhouse. Milliken walks in there. He says, hey, do you want to talk about it?
It was good.
He said I was the effing worst.
Oh.
And he got up and left.
At least he knows who he is.
Milliken said that's the end of the story.
I don't think so.
Even though I'm always down to talk.
I don't think that's the end of the story, my man.
I didn't comment on his situation in Minnesota besides backing him on the pod.
Yeah.
He blames me as the one who blew it up. So I would say this to Tyler. You were the one who posted he did it in a full stadium.
Yeah.
Anybody could have taken the screen grab. I'm sure others did.
I'm sure others did, but he knows him. He's got like a big platform.
I would say this. Milliken probably is the one who blew it up. I mean, that was the tweet that went viral.
Okay, but he covers and talks about the team. So there's nothing wrong with
it. I don't think he did anything wrong with it. I'm just saying if Duran is bothered because he feels like a podcast that should have his back amplified it.
Yeah.
I get that. Turning around and texting other hosts on the show and saying he's a fat F, and I want to fight him. And then when you get the opportunity
no
to confront him,
for that.
You storm off instead of having a conversation. Another reason to get this guy off the team.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, I hope he's not texting anybody about this.
Get him the hell off.
Threatening to fight us.
He may be a homophobe. He is a fat shamer. He wants to fight fans. He now wants to fight podcasters. But good news, at least he can't hit. He's at the buck 90. He's useless. Get him off the team. Get him off the team.
Yeah.
All season long, they've had three players, or I shouldn't say all season. The first 2 months of the season, they had three players that were three of the nine worst players in baseball, at least worst hitters in baseball. And it was Durbin, Story, and Duran. Every list, whether it was like
WAR, all these different rating systems that they all had. They were the worst. OPS or even more advanced stats than that. They were the worst. Durbin, to his credit, turned it around. Story got hurt, so he was out of there. And then Duran had that 1 month where he was like hitting home runs, but that was kind of it. And then now he can't hit. He's a bad at bat. He's hitting a .190 at the break. OPS is like barely over 600. I don't think he's very good in the field.
No, and now he'll kick a ball around the outfield if you want. He'll kick that thing right in the corner a couple of times.
And now he wants to fight one of the Red Sox fan podcast hosts, and then he won't even talk to him when he does show up in the clubhouse.
Honestly, how many guys on this team want to fight the fans this year? It's at least him and Contreras. It's probably more.
I mean, you got to harness that energy. Go do that versus the Rays. Don't do it versus Milliken. Don't do it versus a guy in right field. Do it versus the Rays.
I feel like the old manager used to feel that way.
Yeah,
but maybe. Okay, there's a whole bunch of them on this team. So, all right, Jaron Duran wants to fight Tyler Milliken. Another reason to get the guy off the team. And let me tell you, Keith.
Yeah.
Just when you thought the vibes were high for this team and things were going well,
they
haven't even started the second half yet, and already I'm like, uh-oh.